being here. Nice, beautiful, sort of warm day. Hope it's comfortable in here. The air's not on. We've got just enough heat to kind of keep it from getting chilly, but I hope everybody will be comfortable. Kind of days are a little kind of in between. It's hard to gauge. Good to see you here. Let's all get a hymn book and stand together as Brother Tim comes to lead us in a song. Number 323. Stand up. Standing on the promises. 323. Service tonight. Again, good to see you here this evening. Brother Steve Todd, you lead us in prayer if you would, please. Amen. All right, you can be seated. Again, thank you for being in the service tonight. We got some folks out sick. Oh, Kelly, Haley's sick, not feeling well, so I guess Kelly stayed home with her. And then let's see, is Zachariah not feeling good? I sort of figured that. So that's why they're not here. And let's see, Mary's daughter Sabrina had a little heart difficulty, but they got it worked out. It was really more of a mechanical thing. She's got a monitor in there that keeps track of her heart, and it kind of got bamboozled a little bit, and she had to go to the hospital, but she's doing okay, and we're glad for that. Let's see who else we got here, because I didn't bring my other prayer list, and so I'm trying to do this from memory, so you know this is not going to work. So I may have to have you to kind of help me out. Gail had her test this week, and you haven't heard anything back from them yet, I'm assuming, have you, Gail? Everything's okay. Good. Well, that's wonderful. She had to go down to Augusta, and so glad everything's doing okay there. And let's see. Anybody else? Yes, let me help me out here. Yeah, okay. Yeah, all right. Aren't you glad you don't teach, RG? Yes, sir. When did she get? Cause I just got a message. She got home. Kelly sent me a text that she went home. Is she at home now? Oh, back again because she had it before. All right. Well, so this is the second time around for her then, right? All right. But Yeah. So Kelly sent it. I thought it was today when she'd gone home, but I guess she's still in the hospital then. Okay, at Prisma, Lexington. Okay. So remember Becky Johnson, Rebecca's brother Danelle. He passed away. They took him off the life support, and he just didn't last long. And so Brother Steve might. I guess you sent. Did you send out the obituary? You might have seen his picture and all. But anyway, he was a twin. I didn't know that until I read the obituary. Anyway, you pray for the Spanagle family. They have several. They've adopted several special needs children as their own. From cases. In fact, the brothers, Danelle and Raynell, Dana, I don't know how you pronounce it, but anyway, they're from New York City. And so they've got them from all over. But anyway, you pray for that family. Is this the lady we prayed for before that lived upstairs or down there? Yeah, okay. So pray for that family. I hate to do that. Anybody else got anything? Miss Ann Shelton's working tonight, I believe, so he's on the road. Pray for his safety. Pray for Steve and Debbie Morris are both having some health issues right now. Steve had prostate cancer diagnosed a couple of years ago, and he sort of got okay with it, and he had a six-month checkup, and they wanted to come back. There was something in the blood that they didn't like. So, and then Debbie's having some issues, so pray for both of them. I talked to Steve today. I didn't know he was 68 years old. I thought I was closer in age, and he's old enough to be my daddy. So, and I told him that, too. No, I love Steve and Debbie Morris. What great, and they'll be in the area the end of March and the first part of April. So hopefully, if he can clear a schedule, either a Sunday night or a Wednesday night, I hope I can get him to come down here and preach for us and be here with us. Let me mention, too, now this is a ways off, but I'm going to go ahead and give you the date so you know. May the 31st to June the 3rd. Let's see, my name is the first. Yeah, June the 3rd. That's a ways off, but that's when we're going to have our revival meeting. Brother Brian Gurley will be here with us for that week. And so this is very preliminary. I mean, the date's set. He's on deputation doing a great job. We're trying to line him up some places up in the Northeast with Brother Foote, David Foote. He called me today, and you can listen to him for the first sentence and tell if he's serious or if he's fixing to be something goofy. And he left me a message, and the first sentence was, "Pastor, I just wanted you to know me and my friend were out today riding around in a Toyota, and we contracted coronavirus." I knew that's where it was going. I didn't even want to listen to it, to be honest with you. I called him back. I said, "Really? It's a good thing you don't have to pay for long-distance phone calls and stuff like that." But anyway, Brother David's doing well, though, and the family's doing well. Anyhow, just mark that date down. Of course, we'll talk more about it. We're going to get the stuff sent out to other churches. Hopefully, we'll have a big crowd those nights. And Brother Brian has been able to preach at our Low Country Fellowship twice over the last few months. And so a lot of the local guys now know who he is and had him at their church. In fact, he was with Steve Williamson Sunday night presenting his work. And where was he Sunday morning? He was somewhere, with Henry Hatchell. Out in Hartsville. And so he is very busy now getting with his deputation. So anyway, just mark those dates and we'll tell you more about it. So if you don't think about it for a while, that's okay. All right, anybody else got anything before we move ahead? Yes, ma'am. Okay. Yeah, I know Martha's feeling. I was going up the street. Did I see you jogging out there today? She's not answering me. So no, I. Oh, well. Yeah, I did. Yeah, I'll just leave all this stuff to David Foote, I guess. Just let him do it. Him and Tim Maskelier back here. All right. Anybody else got anything? Yes, ma'am. Yeah, they're leaving tomorrow to go to Atlanta to see the grandchildren, so they'll be gone for a couple of days. So, and I know there are questions about the coronavirus and all that sort of thing, and I certainly am not downplaying it by any stretch. I mean, when one person dies of anything, it's important. But I really believe now, and this may just be me, but a lot of it is just a lot of hype in the media. However, a lot of states are doing, some of the governors are now telling their churches not to meet. And we talked a few minutes, and I'm not ready to do that just yet. When we do fellowship time, if you don't want to shake hands, don't get offended if somebody doesn't shake, if that's a personal thing with you. I walked up to Ms. Mary Ward. She stuck her elbow out. I thought she was going to jab me with it. And then I realized what she was doing. I noticed that in some of the Asian and European countries, they kick each other's foot. Is that what you all did? Did you? You sure? Please don't kick my foot. My feet are already very sensitive. You kick me in the foot, and I'm liable to fall down and get hurt, and I'll have to sue you, and I don't have to do that because I'm not supposed to sue Christians. But but anyway, use your own good judgment on that. And surely, if something happened, but in the state of South Carolina, how many are there, like 11 or 12 maybe altogether, and What do you do? I mean, in the same time frame since this started till right now, back in the early in 2010, there were 117,000 flu deaths from that flu. Was that SARS or whatever that was? And I, you know, other than being sad that people were getting it and you had to be careful, they didn't make near as much out of that one as they are this one. So I don't know. I don't know if it's political. I don't know if it's economic. I don't know what it is. But we will keep an eye on it. And certainly, if for some reason, if it just got to the place where we just felt like we had to let everybody stay home, we'll do that. But already there's in Kentucky, I think Brian told me, the places maybe they're wanting their churches not to meet this Sunday. I don't want to go quite that far just yet, okay? So, but if you feel threatened or if you feel like you're vulnerable, you know, if that's your personal decision, then you do whatever you feel is right, okay? And during this time, I won't make a fuss over it, okay? Now, I am not just giving everyone blanket permission to stay home from church. You know, wow, the pastor said we could stay home. You know, yeah. So, you know, and I'll just put it like this. Whatever you decide, you and the Lord are going to have to deal with it, okay? So please don't, I don't want to downplay it and make it sound like there's nothing to it when, like I said, when anybody dies from it. And of course, the biggest group that are affected are elderly people that have some type of pre-existing condition. And so obviously we've got seniors here, and you seniors, if you ever get to the place where you're just really frightened about it, or you just feel like you just need to stay home until it passes, that's up to you. And I certainly understand that. I certainly would. Okay. Well, the area nursing homes have closed, so you can't, we won't be having services. Now, the Waterford hasn't yet. I'm supposed to do a memorial service on Saturday at 3:00 for one of the residents who passed away. And I talked to to Rachel and the activities director, and they said everything was okay. So as far as I know, that's okay. But some of these other places actually have gone to the place where nobody can visit. You know, they're just closing them down. Of course, when you've got a building full of seniors that have pre-existing conditions, you certainly want to be very careful. So I understand that, of course. All right, everybody good with that? Yeah. All right, so Chris is going back over to help get some of them churches going. And, yeah, we love Brother Chris. He's doing a good job. All right, we good? All right, Brian, what do you got for us?
Real quickly, ladies will be having their Bible study 6:30 p.m. at Sister Gonzalez's home with that Mexican theme. So if you have any questions about that, see her or one of the other ladies heading that up. 6:30 Friday evening. Now, we told you Sunday about the youth choir singing at Life Care in April. That's not going to happen anymore, okay, youth choir, unless something. Right. Well, I think Kelly's made the call to actually go. So but I think that decision probably would have been made for us if we didn't make it. But young people, there is good news. We're still going to sing Sunday, and you're still practicing this Saturday, okay? 11 to 1 this Saturday here at the church, okay? So parents, make sure you remember that, and we'll have a good time in the Lord.
All right, number 257. 257, let's stand. We'll sing the first and last stanzas. 257. let's have a little time of fellowship, and children are dismissed. This evening, Brother Tim can introduce the special. Come on, ushers. Let's go ahead and take care of that. All right, let's pray. Father, we love you, and what a joy it is to be back in the house of the Lord tonight on Wednesday night. Thank you for everyone that's made their way out this way. And Father, we pray for those that are not able to be here through sickness, but Lord, traveling and other things, working. Father, we pray for Brother Shelton. You give him safety, Lord, every time he goes out on that road. It's dangerous. Pray for our law enforcement officers, and Lord, we love them. We appreciate them, the first responders, firemen, our military. God, we pray that you'll bless each and every one that's made their way out here tonight. Bless the offering now, the gift and the giver. Bless the special music and then the Word of God this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Tonight, Brother Joaquin, I'm going to sing for us.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace in the mansions bright and a place when we all get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing there will be when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory while we walk the pilgrim pathway. Clouds will overspread the sky, but when dressed not a sign when we all get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing there will be when we all see Jesus. Will sing and shout the victory. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of Him in glory will the cost of life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing there will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Onward to the prize before us, soon His beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open, we shall tread the streets of gold. Oh, when we all get to heaven, the day of rejoicing there will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing out the victory, victory.
Bible says.
He had to rub it in. I told him before I heard him practice that, I told him I dared him to do that. So he did it. Thanks, Joaquin. That was a blessing. Get your Bibles ready and listen out to the pastor.
I wonder if he's going to squeeze her in there or not. I was just sitting there thinking, I guarantee you, nobody in this building, nobody in this building's ever heard that song sung just like that. I'm telling you, that's not a joke. I'm serious about that thing. Just a few years ago, Joaquin didn't know anything about the Lord, but God saved him, and he has grown in the Lord, so he's a vital part of our church, and he does so much for people that nobody knows about, and his time and his effort. You pray for his wife out there, or I still know the deal when she may be coming home, is that right? End of this month. So I know he'd be glad to see her. It's been a long time, but we love Brother Joaquin. 1 John chapter 2 tonight, the book of 1 John. Chapter number 2, we were talking Sunday morning about not compromising standards for unity. Here in 1 John chapter 2, the idea of being at union with Christ is a major point. In fact, in the whole book of 1 John. In 1 John chapter 2, I'm going to begin reading in verse number 21. It's page number 1323 if you have a Schofield Bible. And when you find your place, if you're able, you stand with me, please, as we read just about 6 or 7 verses, and I'll give you the message tonight. John chapter 2, beginning in verse number 21, written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar, but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. He that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. Here's the thought about unity between the believer and our Lord. Anointing which ye have received of him, that's the Holy Ghost, abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing, again the Holy Ghost, teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him. And when he shall appear, we may have confidence, not be ashamed before him at his coming. Father, we pray that you'll bless the word of God to our hearts now. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I mentioned the entire book of 1 John deals with the believer and how he lives, how he should love the world. You know, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And then he talks here about those antichrists, and this is not the antichrist, although he can be in the mixture. John is really talking about false teachers and prophets that were human beings living at that time who denied the Father and denied the Son, denied that Jesus is Lord. We have those over the place now. And so they are antichrist. And it doesn't matter what else they say that may sound good to you, if they do not believe that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God, or if they do not believe that he was virgin born, or that he alone can save and nobody else, and everything else around that, you just ought to ignore and just turn it off, stay away from it. Don't give it any time. The Bible even says we shouldn't even bid at God's feet. So when a Jehovah's Witness or Mormon comes to your door, first of all, you shouldn't take their material. Just shouldn't. Not you had to, kick them in the shins and run them off the porch necessarily. But don't take their lid. And don't say, well, I'm praying for you. You mean to tell me you'd pray for somebody that's spreading a lie? That's what John said, didn't he? He said, he that is not of the truth is a liar. Notice there's no middle ground. Not a fibber. Not someone who has misconstrued the facts, or someone who has taken out of context what they said. Those are just fancy ways of saying, told a lie, and I got caught, and I don't want anybody to know I'm a liar. So that's what John is talking about here, the Lord through the Apostle John. And he said in verse 21, notice he said, I've not written this to you that don't know the truth. He said, I'm writing this to those of you that do know the truth. So the Bible, 95% for us to know how to live. And it's all written for us to learn how to live and how to honor God and to serve God and how to make sure, and this is really the subject tonight or the thought, that is, what is between you? Now the scripture talks about unity. We talked about that Sunday a little bit and how that we want to be in this thing together. We want to do this together. We want to serve God together. We cannot compromise biblical truth and standard for the sake of getting along. Amen? Oh, got that Sunday. I hope I don't have to repeat that. Well, now, but here's what happens. A lot of times, the compromise happens, or the bad feelings take place, not so much because there's something between, if I'm mad at someone or someone's mad at me, it's not about something between us, it's something between me or them and God. Remember that the majority of human life is lived by reason. Everything we do just about is based upon what somebody else does. We all have original thoughts and we have original action, things that we decide to do, not based upon someone. But a lot of times we operate based on how other people operate. And it may be because we don't want to be singled out. That's why the dress thing is so hard to really grasp hold of in the modern church. It's because we don't want people to notice that we're not dressed like they are. We don't wear our hair like they do. Now back when I was a teenager, hair was the big thing, Of course, now it's not. Now I wish I had some more. Man, when I was growing up, that was what hippies were in and the long hair and all. Man, you talk about hard preaching on hair. I'm telling you. We don't have that problem that much anymore. But there's so many other things that people are basically backing away from the truth of Scripture in order to get along, in order to be like somebody else, so that they're not singled out and what they think would be embarrassed someone. Now, John here, he said, I'm not writing to people who don't know this. He said, I'm writing to people who do know this. And I have to assume, like they say, and I don't want to, I don't want to do it completely, and I hope everybody here is saved tonight. I hope you know Christ as your Savior. And so what I'm doing tonight, I'm not talking to a bunch of sinners. I'm talking to saved folk. And so this scripture that we want to give you tonight and look at for just a few minutes is not how a lost person will respond if they're not right, but how you and I respond or what can happen if there is something between you or me and God. Now, looking at the text here, I told you that the theme of the chapter is unity with God in Christ and they are together. We're given the picture of a believer Look at chapter 4 and verse 15 and 16 real quickly. Here's John's picture of the believer that has nothing between them and God. First John chapter 4, look at verse 15 and 16. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God, and we have known and believe the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. Now we say, oh, well, we love God. But there's so much connected. You know there's a lot connected to you loving your spouse. It's not just the words. There's more to it than that, isn't there? Come on now, help me out here. There's more to it. There's more to it than just saying, I love my children. There's a lot connected to what that love does and how it operates. And it's the same thing out here. You talk to somebody about the Lord, and they don't want to talk about the Lord the way you want to. So they'll say something like this. Well, I love God. But then you watch their life for 5 minutes, and you find out that they don't have the kind of love God wants them to have. Because love works. I don't mean it does works. It just works. It does what it has to be sure that the love that you have or you're trying to explain is shown to others. When you say, I love you, Lord. What was that thing, Brother Steve? Somebody said, do we tell the Lord we love? Do we tell him we love him? Well, and I think that's very important. The idea was that we ought to tell God we love him every day, and I hope you do. And I'll tell you how he's going to know that for a fact. By you showing it to him. Now, we all know that God is God and he knows everything. And so if you tell him you love him, he already knows whether you really do or not. And by the way, showing him we love him is not so much for his benefit. It's for everybody else's benefit. It's for the people who say, I love God. But you know, I don't go to church like you do. I love God, but you mean I'm supposed to read the Bible every day? I thought we just did it at Easter and Christmas. That sounds true. But I'm telling you, folks who are religious and who will say, I love God, I believe in God, there's nothing connected to it. And so here we have, and I, just real quickly, three things about this, just by way of introduction, things that come between us and God. Number one, the sins of our past. A lot of times that comes between us, doesn't it? You know, Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 1, or chapter 6, and verse number 5, he said, when God called Isaiah to preach, to be a prophet, this was his response. Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips. You know what he's saying? God, I appreciate the call, but I got so much in my past. But what happened? If you read the text, you'll find that God sent an angel with a coal, a burning coal. And he took that burning coal and touched the mouth of Isaiah. And of course, it didn't disfigure. This is a picture of the forgiveness of God. It took that away. It burned it up. What happens when you and I get saved? God forgives all of our sin. And yet so many people are living their life in their past. Nothing wrong with remembering where you came from. God reminded Israel many times about Egypt. We need to remember where we came from, but not to glory in, but to help somebody else get out of the same place. But when we say something like, yeah, but preacher, you just don't understand. I'd love to do more for God, but I've got things in my life. Well, that may not be past. What if that's present? That comes between you and God. Now, I think you're past. I'm telling you, I know Christians, especially when they get older. And we're all, and you know, I'm getting that way too. You know, we start trying to remember things from before because we realize our time is running out. I mean, it just is, folks. The older you get, the less time you got. We want to start remembering things that we used to do and things we did. And, you know, I was talking to Brother Steve Morris on the phone and we got to talking about some things, you know, back in the day. And you can't help that. But none of it was sinful. It was just things we did. But there are a lot of people who will then talk about almost like they miss it. Talk about their sinful past. I'm telling you, that'll come between you and God. Because if God's forgiven you that sin, why in the world would you spend time talking about it? You know what happens? That comes between. You know, if Judy and I are, we're fellowshipping good and everything's good, and I start talking about past girlfriends or she starts talking about past boyfriends, you know what? It's going to cause an issue. Come on down. Some of you look at God, I hope you don't say nothing about me and mine. I'm not. You understand what I'm talking about. There are some things that God has forgiven and put into your past, and that's a good place for him to stay. Because it won't come between you. Remember, God doesn't deal with you in the past. He deals with you in the present. Don't let your sinful past come between you and God. Then number two, in 1 Corinthians 9, The Bible talks about how the slackness of our present can come between us and God. This is what 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27 says. But I keep under my body and bring it under subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. And that's a present tense situation. I don't want to say anything or do anything that can come between me and God that will then come. Listen, if you've got something in your life right now that's between you and God, you mark it down. Unless you get it right, somewhere it's going to come between you and somebody else. It's going to happen. Because we don't respond like God responds. We take stuff way more personal than He does, especially when it comes to His children. Oh, slackness of the present. Hey, listen, Ephesians 5, this is what Ephesians 5, 15 and 17 says. See then that ye walk circumspectly. Believe it or not, that was the scripture, that was the text I used in my first message after God called me to preach. Was Ephesians 5, 15, walking circumspectly. And that Judy found the tape. And she makes fun of the way I said God. She said I had to move south so I'd learn how to say His name right. God. You know. But he said walk circumspectly. That means upright. That means where people can notice. He said not as fools but as wise. Redeeming the time. Because wherefore be ye not unwise but understanding the will of the Lord is. Now what's happened in our life a lot of times. Many Christians have slackened up in their Christian life. You slacken up in your Christian life, it's going to show and it's going to come between you and God. Not just your Christian life, we slack up in our community life. How we treat those around us. We slack up in our church life. Oh, that's right. I mean, there's people, you know, I'm sure people have reasons not to be here, but there's a lot of people who don't have any reason. You know what they did? Not responding to anything. They're just making a decision. I'm not going. Now, you know, it's the coronavirus. Okay. Yeah, I mean, you know, everybody's got that sort of, it can be anything, I guess. The point is simply that when we get slack in our present life, it comes between us and God, and then it gets our Christian life out of whack, gets our community life out of whack, our church life, and then it goes to our children. Because I'm telling you, children will recognize it immediately. They surely will. Because I'm telling you, if you don't, one day your kids are going to say something like this. I don't want to go to church anymore. Now, you can respond one of two ways. Well, I want to be their friend, so I'm going to let them make the decision. That has just come between you and God. Now, it's true. When they get old enough to make their own mind up, get out of the house, whatever happened, if you're living at my house, you live by my rules. I know that's like 20th century. Talk like that like 1,000 years ago, you know. That's the way it was. That's the way it should be. Because does God ever tell you concerning doing right, I want to be your friend, so I'll let you decide. Has he ever? Oh, no. I'm reading the Old Testament. I'm in the book of Amos. And I'm telling you, God spent a lot of time in Amos and Obadiah and Joel all talking about, hey, Israel, I tried. I've told you how to do. I tried to do right by you, and you won't do right. I'm sorry, but it's too late. Now I'm going to have to bring judgment. And at some point, what comes between you and God can be detrimental to you physically, spiritually, emotionally. And so we have to be very careful what comes between us and God. Our sinful past, our slacking presence, and of course, our struggle with prosperity. Here we are in the greatest economy in American history. And the stock market's going down. And everybody's going, oh, what are we going to do? First of all, I don't have any stocks. I don't have a 401k. I don't even have a 5k. I mean, so whatever it does really doesn't affect me. Now, it may you, and I hate that. But listen, the same God that said He'd take care of you, if you lose everything, you will never go hungry. You'll never go thirsty. You'll never go naked. Well, now, if the Bible's true, and I believe it is, my God shall supply your need. But He said. And so we have to be very careful that we don't let our struggle, not with necessarily with our prosperity, you know, but with others' prosperity. I'm a capitalist, folks. I'm a diehard capitalist. I believe if you make it, God bless you. As long as you give 10% to the church, we're good. Oh, and that's just if you're saved and doing right. But I don't have any trouble with Donald Trump being a billionaire. I don't have any trouble with what's his name, Bernie. He's a millionaire. Boy, he sure talks bad about millionaires, don't he? He's got several million dollars now. Okay, so but I'm not mad at him. I just don't want to be a socialist. I just don't want to be a socialist. So there you go. So the whole point is that I'm not. Listen, if you make it, God bless you. Enjoy it. You are still trying to win that publisher's clearinghouse. I'm telling you, $7,000 a week for life. Man, I'm telling you, you talk about missionaries we could support and church and buildings we could build. You know, we tell the Lord that all the time, and he hadn't done it yet. I think that's a bit of a stretch. We do have to be very careful that covetousness and envy doesn't come between us and God. It can happen. Remember Asaph in Psalm 73? He said, Lord, why is it that people who are not doing right are better than I am? And here I am, the music director, down the church, and I don't have half what they have. He said, I don't understand it. But in the end, he said, now I get it. He said, I'm okay. He said, because their riches will not follow them. I don't have to worry about that because I don't have any, but what I do have will follow me all the way to heaven. That's the difference. So when something is between you and God, here's what you'll have. I'll give you these quickly. I told Amy I'm going to try my best not to, I don't want her to come out with her hair pulled out and going real late. But when something is between you and God, what you'll have, first of all, unanswered prayer. You really want to live your life with no answered prayer? How many of you here have had prayer answered? More than one. More than 100. I'm telling you, God has been good to answer prayer. I heard Rudy Smith from up in Easley, and he was preaching this week. I just heard yesterday. I didn't get to hear it today. I heard it yesterday. I did something. I told Judy afterwards. I said, I shouldn't have done it. I was feeling frisky. Boy, and so you know where I live. You know where the CVS is on Hardscrabble? I walked up there to get Judy's medicine and walked home. 7 miles. Thank God I had Rudy Smith on my earphones preaching to me. Because he was preaching about Joseph sending wagons to get Jacob. I thought, God, I wish he'd send me a wagon right now, I'm telling you. I'd take a scooter, a shopping cart, anything. I was thinking about trying to hitch a ride from Hardscrabble home, man. He was talking about those wagons. And he said, one of the wagons. Jacob, you know, his son said, Joseph's alive. Jacob didn't believe him. But when he saw the wagons, he knew Joseph was alive. Because there was stuff in them wagons. And he was talking about the wagon of salvation. The wagon of sanctification. And he mentioned the wagon of answered prayer. Can you imagine how Jacob must have felt for all those years thinking that Joseph was dead? And here comes a wagon with Joseph all over answered prayer. Folks, I'm telling you, what a blessing it is when God. Listen to what happens if there's something between you and God. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, and he will not hear. There's others, but I'm going to move on. So what can come between you and God is unanswered. What happens? The result, unanswered prayer. Number two, what happens when something is between you and God? Uninhabited praise. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 8, the people, this is Jesus talking now, the people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And then here's what he said, but in vain they do worship. So you know, showing up to church to worship is not a big deal. Having a right heart when you're doing it is what makes it right. And Jesus said, they talk to me with their mouth, they talk about me with their lips, but their heart is nowhere to be found. A pastor just, they do a news and notes, and I read it every weekend on Saturday night. And he was talking about, you know, praising the Lord, the people. And he talked about a man, I don't know who he was before I got there, a man who would come to church. He said he wouldn't come to church hardly any. But when he came, but he did come, he'd run the aisles, shout, carry on. The pastor said, I knew from the first that was a lie. Because why would you praise God once a month and then never go back to church? Never read your Bible. Never pray. But he'd get in the altar and lay out, start praying out loud. You know what that is? That's a show. That's a man getting his earthly due. God's not in that, folks. I love shouting. I do. I like it. I encourage it. I'm not going to encourage it to the point that that's going to determine whether or not you're a Christian or not. I mean, we've had preachers and others tell, you know, if you don't shout, there's something wrong with you. That's wrong. That's totally wrong. It's how you, where's your heart when you worship God? That's what makes the difference. I know my mother's never shouted in her life. I've watched her worship God. Now, I've watched Judy worship God and she shouts. Does that make her any more of a Christian than my mother? No. Just worship a different way. As long as your heart's right. If there's something between you and God, that heart's not going to be right. And so what happens when there's something between you and God? Unanswered prayer and uninhabited. The Bible said God inhabiteth praise. When you're right with God shouting, he gets right inside there, man. I like it like this, and I don't mean to, I'm not trying to embarrass Martha, but I can't tell you, Martha, how many people have told me, said, lady that's in the choir, says, you can always tell when she's fixing to get wild. That's what they've said to me. They'll say, because if you watch her, she starts to shake, then she closes her eyes, and then pretty soon, boom! Everybody does a difference. You don't have to do it like Martha to worship God. You don't even have to do that to worship God. I'll tell you one thing, when you come to the house of God, if there's nothing between you and God, you can worship God and He'll honor that. And you go out of here and say, man, what a good Lord's Day it was. Instead of, well, boy, I didn't get nothing out of that. If you didn't come wanting something, you're going to leave without anything. Let me give you the third thing quickly. I got this one and one more and I'll be through. Notice not only when something is between you and God will you have unanswered prayer and uninhabited praise, but in Jude verse 13, there's unfulfilled purpose. You can't serve God if there's something between you and God. It's like you can't, I'm telling you, I've not worked a public job for a long time, but when I did, I grew up in that era. You know, nowadays you have to send in resumes and, you know, and all you go temp agencies and all that stuff. That's not the way it was when I was growing up. You had to go apply for the job, talk to somebody, and make them believe you want that job. I'd apply for a job, and I wouldn't hear from my mom say, "Have you talked to them lately?" "No, I've already applied." "No, you got to go back. I want you. You call them right now and tell them you want that job." Every time she did that to me, I would do it, and I'd get the job eventually. But I learned about the idea of giving it all I had. But I'll tell you what, the first time you and your boss get sideways, the first thing you want to do is quit, or he wants to fire you. You know why? Because both of you now understand that the job can never be done correctly if you guys aren't right. I'm not talking about, I never had a personal relationship with any boss I ever had. It wasn't like that. I'm talking about a working relationship where they knew I had to be at work at 11 o'clock. And I worked the third shift. I had to be at work at 11 o'clock, and I didn't get off till 7 o'clock. And so I'd get there 10 minutes before, and I'd stay late if they wanted me to. If they didn't, I left at 7 o'clock. But they never had to call me and say, "Why aren't you at work?" They never had to call me in the office and say, "Look, somebody's punching you in and out. How come you're not here on time?" You say, "Well, what's that got to do with anything?" Because when they don't trust you, job's not going to get done right. Because I don't want to work a job where I got somebody watching me all the time. Now, God's watching us all the time. That's a whole different ball game. And the whole point of it is that you're doing for God what He wants you to do. There's something between you and Him, and the job's not going to get done right. That's when people start to quit. That's when they lay down. That's when they don't do right. So that idea of unfulfilled purpose, when something's between you and God, your religion becomes vain. Your worship becomes vain. Your work becomes vain. Your cause for living becomes vain. All of that happens when we get something between us and God. It is so important to have a right relationship with God. You're the last one. I'm through. There's something between you and God. Result is unanswered prayer, uninhabited praise, unfulfilled purpose. And lastly, you'll have to agree, you'll notice this, uneasy person. You get around somebody who's not right with God, you can tell it after a while. They're just not the same. You know, you can talk to them one Sunday, everything's great, and talk to them the next Wednesday, and what happened? I mean, I've had some of you come to me and say, "Pastor, something wrong with so-and-so?" "What do you mean?" They're not talking to me like they used to. It's not the same. It was okay Sunday. It's not okay this Sunday. What happened? I don't know. I don't know. I'm not God. Something's between. That's why Jesus said, before you can worship, leave your gift at the altar and get it straight. Get it worked out one way or the other. Either get it right, have them tell you, "I don't want to make it right." You tell them tell you, and you've done right, and then you can come back and present your gift. Because don't you know God will know if you're making the effort and they're not? But when you go to them and say, "Listen, I need to get this thing right." "Well, I don't care what you say. I was right. I got to get this right because I can't do it unless we get it right." There's something between the two of you that's getting bigger. Now there's something between you and God because now you know that God will not bless you until that thing gets fixed. Or you just give up on it and then you just fake worship. There's a lot of folks in church that fake worship because they're not where they need to be with God. There's something between them and God. So they show up, they do the words, they sing the song, they go to Sunday school. But you ever notice? They're the first ones out the door. I'm not saying any of you in here that tonight when the service is over, "I'm not going out first." You go first. "I'm not going out first. You go first." You know what I mean. I'm not talking necessarily about the first. I'm saying you can tell they're trying to get out. For one time they would fellowship talk. Now, man, they're gone. I can't tell you. In this church, since we started here, we've had people leave here because they got mad about something. And instead of working it out, before I could get to the door to even talk to them, they're gone. And they did that. Then I'd get to the door and they'd go out that way. Because they didn't want to get it right. What am I going to do? I'm not going to change. I'm not a cowboy, a roper. I'm not going to do that. I just have to make sure things are right between me and God. If things are right between you and God, guess what's going to be okay between us? Us, right? When you see some Christian who's just bitter, cold, indifferent, and they weren't that way before, I'm telling you, it would. There's so many of you, all of you, really, in this building right now, that if that happened between us, it would hurt me in my heart, and it shouldn't be that way. give you this verse, and I'm done. Psalm 119:67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. Have I kept thy word? So there is a way to get it. I surely is. What's between you and the Lord? Well, you can say nothing. You say nothing, right? That's an everyday struggle, an everyday battle. Make sure there's nothing between you and God. For bed tonight, and you go to work tomorrow. Make sure there's nothing between you. Father, we love you tonight. Simple message. And Lord, in these last days,
when so much emphasis is placed upon getting along, that we compromise Bible truths and convictions in order to see that happen. Lord, what it is spiritual extortion. Well, if we can't do this, or we can't do that, or we can't have that kind of music, we can't wear these kind of clothes, or we can't say these kind of things and this kind of worship, and I'm going somewhere else. Spiritual extortion. Lord, help me, not just as the pastor of the church, but as a Christian, stay by the old stuff. Hold on to the Bible truths, but as a pastor of Anchor Baptist Church, it is my solemn duty and responsibility to hold on to the Bible truths. So Lord, help me to stand for what's right without being coarse, hateful, or mean, or coming off as being mean. I never want to be that way. I probably seem that way sometimes, but I don't want to be. Lord, when it comes to the truth of the Word of God, I've got to stand by it, stand on it, stand with it 100%, because it's worked so far. My 43 years of being saved and my 37 or 38 years of being in the ministry, it's always worked. Lord, help us to love each other by first loving you and making sure there's nothing between us and our God, so there won't be anything between us and our brothers and sisters in Christ. And then, Lord, if there's nothing between me and God, and there's nothing between me and my brothers and sisters in Christ, then I can go out to the world and they can see that there is really a difference in me, because I'm not carrying emotional baggage. I'm not carrying a grudge. I'm not carrying a vengeful spirit. I'm not carrying a bitter spirit. Because the world sees that. Lord, help me to be someone that they see Jesus in. Because I just don't think we have much longer here. Things are happening quickly, fast. Lord, we just got to be ready and get as many people ready for Jesus as we can until He comes. So Lord, bless the message to our hearts and help us all to leave here tonight saying, Lord, I want to be sure there's nothing between me and you. We love you and thank you for all you do in Jesus' name.